Sometimes you can tell, and sometimes you can see that things aren't going exactly the way we didn't know. And God bless those Boy Scouts. That's the future of America. But they were here yesterday, and they moved all our equipment, the mic stands, and everything was moved. And so we had that we didn't know about. But that's fine, because we're glad that 100 years that scout troop's been here, and we're just blessed. And then Deacon Chuck in Maryland, they brought the candles, the beautiful candles, and it came, and we couldn't get one lit. So Chuck and I and Jim were praying over it, and you just took a second to breathe and give it to God, and they sat down and gave it back to Marilyn, and there they are, and they're beautiful. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes the devil tries to get in the way, even at church. Amen. You know, he just a building. He can come in the building, but we're going to talk about Jesus. Say that with me. Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus. And when we start shining that light, he's going to be sneaking out through the door if he can fit, or go underneath the door and leave, because we're going to talk about, and we're going to sing to who? Hallelujah. Let's stand up and pray together. Oh, he's going to hate this. He might not even be here now. Lord, help us. Hallelujah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus taught us how to say that. Psalm 100. Just listen to what the word, you want to be right with God, you want to get your answers from God, you want to be right, praise him, talk to him, fellowship with him, let him hear you, acknowledge him. When you're praying and he's answering because of his mercy, but he loves you just like you love your children and your grandchildren, and you want to give them, but when they come to you and say thank you, when they come to you and say I love you, when they come to you and just hold on to you, you want to give them what? More. Amen. You just want to give them more because you see that they understand the love. And that's the same way with our Father. And where does he live? Hallelujah. So when you just, as this says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Hallelujah, right there. Make a joyful shout. I mean, you can cheer and holler for your favorite NASCAR driver or for the Yankees or for the Red Sox, and you start screaming for your football team. And God is saying, how about shouting for me once in a while? Amen? That's it. And it says, and serve the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. How many generations? Praise God. Give him praise and glory, church. You know, people go to church week after week after week and never receive. They go to church and they listen and they walk away and they never receive. They didn't hear the word. They didn't get themselves to the dinner table. Amen? Are you with me? You know, you sit in front of a dinner table and there's all this food and all these desserts, but if you don't eat, if you just sit there sitting, what's going to happen? Your body's going to die, amen? You're going to perish for life. So you come to church and you get the Bible at home and you got all that food, and if you don't partake, guess what happens? Spiritually, you fall back. Spiritually, you become afraid. Spiritually, you lose track of God, amen? He's got a table set in front of you with so much beautiful food. This beautiful book, this love letter we go over. The other day, it was one paragraph. And then I read six lines, and it changes lives, amen? And it doesn't change the church's life. Whose life does it change? Hallelujah. Listen to that. This is from Paul. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Understand what it's saying, the simplicity that is in Christ. What does that mean, Brother Joe? It means that God made it easy. Amen? Jesus made it easy. Because of his love, he made it easy. His grace is sufficient. But it's people who are putting a block between you and God. Amen. It's people that are putting laws and bondage in front of you, taking away the word simplicity. Say that with me. Simplicity. It's that easy. You see, and Paul is telling us, from the simplicity, that is Christ. Hallelujah. So I tell you this as a testimony to God. Be slow to answer. Amen? Be slow to answer. Be slow to speak, knowing, listen to me, be slow to speak knowing you're going to be judged. And you're going to be judged without forgiveness. And you're going to be judged without compassion. When one of us fall, how many of us fall short? Hallelujah. And when we fall short, we lift each other up. Amen. And we don't judge them. We understand. We forgive. Amen. No matter what the sin, no matter how far you fall back, when you come back in that door and you say, Lord, help me, we all reach around and hold you. Amen. The world's not going to do that. Because you say, Jesus, the world's not going to do that. They're not going to give you 1 ounce of forgiveness. They're not going to give you 1 ounce of compassion. They're going to take your God and throw him away. Amen. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to mock you. The word says that. So we need to be slow to answer these questions that people want to hear. We are not to judge unbelievers. Amen. Say that with me. We are not to judge unbelievers, but we are not to be judged by them either. Amen. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Now here's the testimony. Why do those who have achieved, and listen, just listen to the words and understand the world and you'll understand. Why do those who have achieved tell others that they must sacrifice? To what end? If they are to lead, if those that have achieved and they want to lead us and tell us what to do, if they want to lead, why haven't they first sacrificed what they have? Amen. Why is it that they achieve, they have everything that they have, and then they come in front of us and say, we need to do this and that while they're not doing one thing. Amen. You see that? And Jesus talked about the Pharisees in the church telling the people, you need to do this, you need to do this, and you need to do this. And Jesus said, you're telling them to do that, and you're not doing any of it. Amen. Why do we do that? Why do those who are successful tell others how unfair society is? Amen. They tell us how laws and rules hold you down, how much injustice there is in this great country. They tell us that. But if they are to lead and serve the needs of others, shouldn't they start by sharing how they became successful? How come they never share that? How come these successful people that you see, all these people with authority and all these people talking in all these high places with the best suits and ties, amen, with the best car outside, they're so successful, but they're telling us that we need to sacrifice, amen? But they never tell us, and they tell us how bad the world is and how unfair the world is, and they start yelling and getting into anger, and they're getting people all riled up. But they never tell us how they became successful. Are you with me? They never tell you that. Did somebody give it to them? Did all of a sudden somebody say here? Or did they work hours and hours and weeks and days to become successful? Amen? How come they never tell those people that when they're yelling and screaming about injustice? Well, how successful. And after they give that speech, they get in a car that you can't get next to. And they drive in a motorcade that you can't get near. And they pull into their house that you can't get to because it's a gated community. Amen? Or because there's fences around it. And they won't talk to you after they leave the building. How can that be? How can that happen? Amen? Who does that bless? I ask you, who does that bless? Hallelujah. I told you I'd put the seatbelts tight. Anybody that's ever ran a business or ever worked for yourself or doing, you know how hard it is. Amen? You don't work 8 hours a day. Amen? You don't work eight. You don't go in and your day is done. Your day is starting just to begin after you get out of work. Amen? Because you're planning for the business. You're planning for the people working for you. You're planning to be successful. Amen? Your work doesn't start here. So these successful people who claim that everything is so unjust and unfair, something happened along the way. Why don't they teach people that? Why don't they remove the anger and start teaching? Amen? Because who does that? God does that. Listen, to be great to God, one must serve the needs and the hearts and the minds of, guess who? Others. You want to be great to God? You serve your fellow man. You help your fellow man. You lift your fellow man up. You don't tear them down. Hallelujah. They should lead others to prosper. Who needs people to prosper? God. Amen. Who needs people to comfort? God. Who needs people to be blessed? Amen. God. Who needs people security? God. Look at your family. Look at what God is leading you to. Look what he's given you. So when one person is blessed, who is blessed? All of us are blessed. Amen. When one person receives a prayer answer, who receives it? We all do. Maybe not at the same time you're saying, well, that person got everything last week. You say, yeah, but that's your faith walk. You see that person growing in God. Amen. That's your brother. That's your sister. And God is telling you, look, I did it for them. Walk with me. I'll do it for you. Amen. Because in God's world, when one person gets blessed, we all get blessed. Amen. When this church gets blessed, who gets blessed? Hands outside this week. We're working on the yard, working on the flowers, working on the cactuses, working on the flowers in there. You didn't see it. I didn't see it. But when you came to the church, who got blessed? We all did, because you're doing God's work. Amen. It's the same where in the whole world, when you're doing something under God, the people around you will get blessed. Hallelujah. And I say this to God's testimony. If I am blessed, if I have a new car and I have a new boat and I have a new boat, if I have all the things and I don't tell you about my God, how are you ever going to know? Amen. If I am blessed and you are not, and I keep God to myself, but I put you under bondage and I put rules and regulations on you and I stir you to anger and violence and leave you there, how does that show you my God? Amen. How does that show you my faith? How does that show you what I believe in? These people that get up here and talk and get everybody all fired up and then they leave, what have they done? What have they really done? Who have they blessed? Who have they lifted up? They went away, they got their paycheck, and they're gone. Amen? But who have they left up? Nobody. If I am blessed because of my faith and you are blessed by hearing the word, then this entire church is blessed. Amen? Now, you might, like I said, we're supposed to grow stronger every day. I had a pastor that I used to read all the time. When I was beginning as a Christian, I found this man. His name was Smith Wigglesworth. If you ever want to read somebody that's fascinating, read some Smith Wigglesworth. He said, and listen to this now, this is what he said, not God, but he, and I believe, he said, if you're the same today as you were yesterday, you're backsliding. You're backsliding. You haven't grown with God today. If you're the same, then you haven't caught on. You haven't trusted God with what you have. Amen? Are you with me? And again, I go back. If you sit at a table of food and you don't take a bite, you're going to die. If you sit at God's table with all that he has and you don't partake spiritually, you will not grow. Amen? But if you do, and you are, and you see, look around you, you see this church, we see it, Deacon Chuck, you see it, you see this church, there's people not here today, and look at the church today, how beautiful it looks, the people in the filling the aisles, both sides. This church is being blessed by God, amen, which means you are under the umbrella of that blessing, amen. We have Elder Pat, and I wanted to tell you about her because I am so proud to tell people that she's my elder. I told people that knew her, and you know the Bible says you can't go home, I understand that, because I told people last week who knew her for all the years she was with another place that she was an elder and she got zero. Oh, really? And I walked over and I said, yep, she's our elder. She's our prayer warrior. Not only just a greeter, she loves being the greeter. That's a nice thing. We all miss her hugs. But she's a woman of God. A woman of God. If you don't see it, we see it. Amen. Deacon Gary, and I wish he was here, but I will tell anyway, he is a blessing to this church. Are you with me? I prayed. I got on my knees and prayed. I did. I said, Lord, I need somebody. I need to delegate. I said, Deacon Gary, would you like to do the Bible study? I know I picked the right person because he said, I'm humbled. I'm not sure I'm ready. I'm not sure I can do it. And I said, that's exactly what I want to hear. I want to hear humble. I want to hear somebody who won't give you another doctrine. And boy, is he faithful. Puts together the things a week ahead of time. Passes out pamphlets, all excited. This church is being blessed. You need to partake, amen? You need to grow closer to God and find out how God answers each and every prayer, amen? I love him. Give him praise. That's his testimony. Lord, we love you. That's it, the simplicity. Just like we love our children, and when they come to us for something, we don't hesitate to give them to them. They want a drink of water, they want what they need, Lord. We just buy them their shoes, and we hold them, and we buy them little toys, and we just see their joy. because we love them. We want them to have, and our grandchildren, we want them to have a better life. We want them to know you and to enjoy you. We want to teach them what we've learned. It took a lifetime, but now we have a chance to teach them you. Oh, Lord, thank you for your simplicity and your love, just giving that love. And just like we love them, you love us. You sit in heaven. You sit on the throne with your Son at the right hand, who once for all, for once for all, did for us what we could not do. And he simply says, ask anything in my name, and my Father in heaven will give that to you. And Jesus does that, and when his Father answers, Jesus has pride in his Father and praises him. Jesus loves to hear the praise of his Father, just like you love to hear the praise of your children. Just like you just love your children, he loves his Son. And he sits there not to answer us like a microwave, and not to just be the dispenser of good things, but because he loves us, because of his mercy, because of his compassion and his kindness. He leads us to get away from the anger. He leads us to get away from the injustice. He leads us to fight in every way. He tells us that that's his fight for us to just love him. He leads us through it all. The problems at work, the problems at school, the problems with your family, he leads us through it if we'll just focus on him. Because he loves us like that. Thank you, Lord. We're going to just draw closer to you today, and we're just going to try even harder every day. Try just to draw closer, to open our eyes to all that you are and all the blessings in our lives. And not get away, just not get in the middle of the arguments and the yelling and the disagreements and the bondage that other people put on us, because we simply know you love us and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. God, praise and glory, church. Give him that praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read today, we're going to study today in one of the smallest books of the Bible. But I, as I told my wife, she said to me, what are you preaching on today? I said, it was hard to explain because it's like this book, these couple of pages we're going to read, it's like I'm reading the headlines from today's newspaper, amen? It's like God knows. I want you to say that with me. God knows. You see all the things in the world and you say, that's crazy. I can't believe I'm seeing that. People doing things to themselves and people changing this and other evils and all of the things in the world. You're saying, oh, this is the worst it's ever been, amen? I can't believe what I'm looking at. Let me tell you, say it with me again. God knows. And he deals with those people. Amen. And I tell you this. I tell you this from the bottom of my, the deepest part of my spirit. Do not judge other people. Do not judge who they are, what they are, and how they do it. Amen. Because they're children of his. Amen. They're his children. You need to pray for them. And as you read and as I read, you'll understand you don't say anything to them. You just rebuke them when you need to. You don't argue with them. You pray with them. You accept them. Because people have 5 cents worth of knowledge in this Bible. Amen. And they're walking around like they have the $1 million in knowledge. Are you with me? We're going to read this and you're going to say, God knows. When you're done, and I just hope it just gives you what it gives me when I read it, because it could be like today's book. Open up, turn on the news, and this is what they're talking about. Are you with me? Hallelujah. This I'm going to read from the book of Jude. It's right in the back of the Bible, right before Revelation. You say, who Jude was? Jude was James's brother, not that James. Not the Indian warrior, but James's brother, who happened to be half-brother to Jesus. Amen? He's writing this little letter. He's half-brother to Jesus. And I will tell you this so that you feel that how real the Bible is. The Bible tells us. Who tells us? He did not believe his brother until after the crucifixion and the resurrection. Amen. Jesus was his half-brother. But him and James both, the Bible tells us, had a problem believing who he was. Amen. Had a problem walking in that faith. Can you imagine that? So when you feel a little less faith or you feel a little doubt, you just understand that God knows. Amen. But you have to know the truth. He wrote this.
And he didn't believe
in the beginning. And this is what he said. To those who are called sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. What does sanctified mean? Set apart. Who set apart? You. Why? Because you love who? Sanctified. Listen to what the Bible says. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. When's the last time you heard anybody say that? Are you with me? Listen to what it says. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. That's God. And now he writes, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Which was once for all means Jesus did it how many times? Once. For who? Hallelujah. And now it tells you right there that he was writing a letter. Jude was writing, and then he had to stop because he rewrote. He had to stop that letter because it says he started another one. Said, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly with the faith. Hallelujah. And now listen to this. And you just put your mind and what you see every day. Put your mind today. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men, who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and to deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody see that lately? Hallelujah. Well, gee, he's saying, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. What does that mean? Satan and the angels that follow him, that's who he's talking about. He's saying those angels did not keep their proper abode. They left. Amen? And God has what? He's reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment. Someday they're going to be put in everlasting chains. Amen? He's telling us this. And then he mentions Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, I want to tell you this. This book was written approximately 65 years after the resurrection. 65 years from Jesus' resurrection. Jude is already writing this because I want you to believe that God knows. Say that with me again. God, hallelujah. It's going to give you some peace. Thank you, church. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh and set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, likewise, and now listen to what he calls them, likewise, all these dreamers defile the flesh. They reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Three lines right there. 65 years after Jesus. And if I was reading that today, you'd say, that's right. That's exactly what's happening. Amen? Let me read that again. Likewise, also, these dreamers defile the flesh. Amen? Reject authority. Amen? And speak evil of dignitaries. Now listen, this is important. Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses. Now I tell you, don't judge people, don't argue with people, don't call people names, don't put them, because listen to what, this is what he tells us, what Michael did. When he was contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Amen? The Bible doesn't tell us this, but they said there was a battle over the body of Moses. The devil wanted to take it, they thought, and have the Hebrew nation use him as an idol. Amen? The devil was trying to trick them into using Moses' body as an idol. Maybe an idol worshiper, maybe lift him up higher than he was. And Michael came to get the body. We don't know where Moses is buried. Amen? But Michael came to get it. And notice when Michael went face to face with Satan, he didn't call him any names, did he? He didn't holler at him and put him down. He just simply said, the Lord rebuke you. And he did what he did. Amen? That's telling us how to deal with evil. Amen? Not to fight with it, because you'll never win against evil that way. Hallelujah. But these speak, this is today's news. 65 years after Jesus, but I want you to know that in today's world, God knows. Hallelujah. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, and these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. Simply what that means is people who don't know anything about the Bible are speaking like they know everything about the Bible. Amen. It's saying right there, people who don't have any knowledge of what they're talking about are speaking about it like they have all knowledge about it. Amen. You ever meet somebody like that? Dave, you ever meet somebody who says they go bow hunting and you can know in 3 seconds that he knows nothing about bow hunting, Chuck, about fly fishing? You know right away, this guy doesn't know anything about fly fishing. And that's what people are doing. They're talking about God and talking about life, and they know nothing about God. Amen. They know nothing about the Bible. And it's happening then, it's happening today. They speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts and these things, they corrupt themselves. Who do they corrupt? Don't get in the middle of that, see? Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. We already know what Cain did. He murdered his brother, amen? And then the heir of Balaam for profit. Balaam was a prophet who sold his prophecy. Hallelujah. And Korah, I will just tell you, was the one that came against Moses when they were in Exodus. And Korah had led a group of people, and they came up to Moses. And they said, Moses, who do you think you are to talk to us and tell us all these things? And that's what happened. And in that battle, trust me, Korah lost. If you want to read that, it's in Genesis. Amen? Now, this is... I want you to see, I love reading this. I read this over and over, and it makes me smile in a very different way, but you'll get it. These people, they are spots in your love fest, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. Who do they serve? Those are the people who are telling you you need to change and then leave and do nothing about it. Amen. Telling you that we're in trouble here, and then they go out and do whatever they want because they have theirs already. Amen. Serving only themselves. And listen to what Jude says they are. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. They are late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. They are raging waves of the sea, foaming up in their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Hallelujah. Let me read that again, because these are these people, and you can see them. And I'm telling you, people who stand up and want to be people, these are these people who do nothing except for themselves. Are you with me, church? Are you understanding what I'm saying? These are spots in your love fest, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Hallelujah. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Enoch is prophesying when Jesus will be coming back to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. How many people want to see that? How many people always say, how can God let these people talk bad about him? How can religious people who call themselves religious, turn down and oppress their people? Amen. How can these people be taught things that aren't in the Word of God? Amen. And you get frustrated. But let me tell you, God, hallelujah, he knows. He knows. Hallelujah. He knows, and he's going to come to execute judgment on all. On who? To convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Spoken against who? God. Because remember, when you go back with me, remember David, when he committed the adultery with Bathsheba, you remember what he said when he prayed, he said, Lord, I sinned against you. Amen? I sinned against you. Hallelujah. And listen to who they are. They are grumblers. Anybody know any grumblers? They are complainers. Anybody know any complainers? Walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great, swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. What do they cause? What do you see in the world today? Hallelujah. Caused by people after their own. Amen. The Bible's saying they're after their own gain. Are you with me? And God what?
No.
Thank you. Now it says flattering people to gain advantage. My wife tells me sometimes it's... I always want to lift up people. I mean, I just want to lift up. I love people. And I hear somebody play the guitar and he's not really that good and he's playing. But I always say, I always find something good to say to that person. I always try. If somebody's doing something or singing or whatever they're doing, I always try to say something good. Why? Why not? Why would I want to say anything other? They say, well, that's flattering words. And that's not what the Bible's talking about here. How many speeches have you heard in the last couple? You got a lot of people running to be the leader of this great country. Amen? You all heard the speeches. How many times have they mentioned God? I hear a lot of things they're going to do. I hear the people they're going to change this and they're going to do this. And they don't have the ability to do any of that. Amen? They have the words to say, I'm going to give you free this and I'm going to give you free that. And I'm going to make you this and I'm going to make you that. And they have zero ability to do anything. But what are they doing? They're saying empty words. Amen? They're clouds without rain. Are you with me? I saw on TV, and Lord, if I'm wrong, please help me, Lord. But I saw a man on TV the other day and he just said, you got it. He got up to give a speech, and somebody came in to the church and pointed at them and said, you're only here for our money. All you're doing is coming in here with your fancy cars and your fancy suit, and you're in here, and all you're going to do is give a big fat speech, and you're going to take our money, and you're going to get in your fancy car and go back home. And I was just, whoa, how about that? I prayed for him, but the person got, I could see that he was convicted right away. And you know what he did? You know what these people do? You know what he did? And Lord, forgive me if I'm, he took out $1,000 out of his, how many of y'all got $1,000 in your wallet today? Not me, I'm sorry. He took out $1,000 and said, I'm giving this to the church. I said, no, my friend, it don't work that way, see. The right hand not supposed to know what the left hand is. So he got convicted, amen? Because empty words, slogans coming out, nothing about God. And I'm telling you, I have to confess, I am getting so unpolitical in these last 4 years. I don't want to hear anybody anymore. I don't believe anybody anymore because all they do is tell me things that I know they can't do. Amen? It's like me being up here saying, I'm going to give each and every one of you $100,000. Make me the bishop of the... And I can't do that. But the Bible is telling us that God what? I read this little book of Jude, maybe one of the least read books. Hallelujah. Clouds without water, carried by the winds of late autumn trees without fruit. Hallelujah. That's what I said. That's right. I'm sitting there reading this and thinking, and look at the TV and I'm thinking, where did this come from? This is 65 years after Jesus' crucifixion. I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. Now, what does it say? I look at all of these. Grumblers. Yep, there they are. Complainers. Yep, there they are. Walking according to their own lust. Yep, there they are. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering to gain advantage. Everybody's clapping. I can't do nothing for you. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken by God. Hallelujah. That there will be mockers in the last days. And now he just tells us this at the end. But you, beloved, and listen to what he's calling you. He's calling you, beloved. Building yourself up on your most high holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to teach about praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because that's the power of your prayer. When you pray in the Spirit, that is a prayer that you can't even know the depth of the power. Amen? When you pray in the Spirit, you utter words that you don't understand, and you do it alone, and you utter them, and you say, that doesn't sound like anything. I know. But I want the Spirit because he knows my heart. Amen? You understand that? The Holy Spirit knows your heart. So when you do that faith and you pray in the Spirit alone and you pray and it doesn't make sense to you, but you're trusting God, that power of that prayer means the Holy Spirit is taking it to God. Praying in the Spirit, keeping your faith. It says keep yourself. Keep who?
Yourself.
In the love of God. and the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life. And then he says this, and on some have compassion, making a distinction. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garment defiled by the flesh. Almost means love, hate the sin, love the sinner. Amen? That's what it's saying. It's saying we need sometimes for our brothers and sisters when they go the wrong way to really reach out. And sometimes we have to grab them and pull them back in. Amen? And some we use with compassion. Hallelujah. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, which with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. That is Jude. That is today. That is for you to understand that God... Hallelujah. Can I please just go a minute longer? I don't ask very often, but I just wanted to read this, and again, one paragraph in Corinthians. This is a beautiful book, amen? Sergio, do you like this Bible? Hallelujah. Listen, just so you understand, listen to what Paul said. And Paul said, I wrote to you in my epistle. Now, in my epistle, that means in my letter. I don't know why they use those words. Not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Listen to what he said. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. He said, I didn't tell you that since then you would need to go out of the world. I love that. I didn't tell you not to be with them, because if you weren't with them, you wouldn't be in it. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not to even eat with such a person. And then he says, for what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? What have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Hallelujah. And I'll leave it right there. Just know, don't judge. Don't judge. Don't be a judge, because the person that you look at on TV or the person you might know in your life you think is the worst person in the world might wake up one day and say, Lord, I am so sorry. Walk into this church and guess what? He will be a brother and a sister with who? Us. With God. Amen? So we don't judge. And don't let the world hear you judge, because you will not have compassion. You will not receive forgiveness. You will be judged on one word that you use. And trust me, be slow to answer, because the world is hungry to catch Christians in what they think is right. Amen? Remember, because they have little knowledge, but they speak a lot of words. Give God praise and glory. He's our protector. And God, hallelujah, the simplicity of Jesus, amen? He did it for us once for all. Once for all. He took the bread and he broke it. And he blessed it. And he told his disciples, who had no idea what he was talking about, to eat, because this is his body going to be torn for them, and do this in remembrance of him. Do you understand? They didn't understand. Sorry, Diggy. Praise the Lord. When somebody is convicted of something, when something knows that they said something wrong, or they got caught in something, you will know right away. You will see it, you will hear it, and you will feel it. They will try to get out of it in wrong ways, left and right and up and down. They will, when they get convicted. Hallelujah. And then you need to pray for them. If they've come against you and they get convicted, you need to pray with them. Amen? If they have sinned against you and they come back and ask for forgiveness, you need to pray with them. You need to lift them up. If he's not a brother or a sister, you really need to show them God by showing them compassion. Amen? The world will not give you compassion. The world will not give you forgiveness, because you claim to love God. And the Bible tells us that the world does not know God. When you see the sins of the world and you see things in the world that look so evil, I hope what we read today helps you to know that God knows, that God sees. That letter was written 65 years after Jesus' resurrection. And we are now 2015 years. And that was 65 years after the resurrection. God knows. Perhaps he's given us all this time to know him better, to draw closer, to give us, all us sinners, a chance to come to know our Father in heaven. But Jesus did this once for all. To anybody who accepts him and loves him and takes him into their heart and wants to know more about him and just loves him, he will take and you will be saved. Anybody who believes in Jesus will be saved. He did it once for all. He took that bread and blessed and broke it and told his disciples, "This is my body being torn for you. I'm going to take your sins, your iniquities. I'm going to take them all on me." And he simply asked to eat and do this in remembrance of him in Jesus' name. The world would hear this. He took the wine and poured it into a cup. And he said, "This is my blood that will be shed for you." According to the book of Matthew, any Christian walking reads the book of Matthew. According to that book, it says, "For the remission of your sins, once for all." Nothing formed against you will prosper. If somebody is planning evil on you, it will not prosper. If the devil comes against you, it will not prosper. We walked in here this morning to confusion, and we put the musical stuff back together and the books back together, and then Deacon Chuck lit the candle and it didn't light, and there was confusion. Something was coming against us. But brothers and sisters, see right now the word of God. It did not prosper. God won. God always wins because love never fails. Amen? If you have confusion in your home sometimes, give it to God. Give it to peace. You have confusion at work, give it to God. Do whatever it is you can do and just walk away and do whatever it is you can do and then come back and watch how God has cleaned it up. Watch how God is making a way where you can't make the way. In the world where there's confusion, there becomes anger and there becomes frustration. And that's exactly what the devil wants, to separate believers, to separate brothers and sisters who love each other, to separate us, and sometimes over nothing. That's what the devil tries to do, but we say, "Oh no." We do what Michael did. We rebuke you. We rebuke you. We rebuke you. You just sound better. I just, in Jesus' name, walk away. He has to flee. Does it make us perfect? No. Does it keep us from ever getting angry? No. But it sure does keep us safe, and it keeps us stronger. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because we are his children. The simplicity of Jesus. Pour the wine into a cup. "This is my blood that will be shed for you. My lifeblood will be shed for you. I'm going to take every sin upon me. I'm going to be separated from my Father for you, for the remission of your sins, sanctified, set apart in Jesus' name." Nothing formed against us can prosper. God knows. God knows. Amen. Hallelujah.